This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Opening day, or at least one of the three opening days. Audio courtesy Ken Rosenthal and the Fair Territory podcast. We are set. There's baseball today, and unlike previous years recently, you don't have to wait till way later in the day. I mean, kind of later, but not crazy, crazy later in the day. As they get ready to take on, boy, it's weird to promote Major League Baseball and the Guardians opening day versus Kansas City, 410 Kauffman Stadium today with Bybee on the bump. And nobody better I'd rather have here for this version of opening day.
You liar.
Than Jason Lloyd, formerly of the Akron Beacon Journal and now of The Athletic. Jason, welcome into the show.
I love opening day.
I know you do. That's why
I
told Owen. I told Owen, I said, we need a baseball open. We have to.
Yeah. They opened at Kansas City a couple years ago. I don't think any game on opening day should start past 4 p.m. It's opening day.
That's 4:10.
Yeah.
Does that count?
Yeah. Well, that's fine. But like even the 7 o'clock, like what are you doing?
Ridiculous.
It's opening day. And plus, it's freaking cold, usually, in a lot of these cities. And especially on the West Coast, like what the situation we had, it was just last year, wasn't it? Where it's like a 10 o'clock start. Like that's ridiculous. No game on opening day unless, you know, you're playing in Tokyo and you want to put it on at 6 a.m., which is so stupid.
Well, that's why I said this is just another version of opening day. We had it. When was the baseball game in Tokyo?
Last week.
It was last week.
We had 2 games in Tokyo.
They had 2 games. Then those respective teams, I think, went back to playing.
Spring training. So, I don't even want to talk about it. It's so stupid.
Yeah, the Dodgers are already out to a big 2-game lead.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Insurmountable?
Who knows? That's why you play 162, Anthony.
They will be wire-to-wire first place in the NL West.
You seem very confident.
Yeah, they're loaded. But no, I love baseball. I've always loved baseball. It's always been my number one. I know I did the NBA for 10 years, but I've always been a baseball guy at heart. So, I'm thrilled that it's here. Let's go.
Am I reading this right? There's a high of 82 today in
Kansas City? Wow.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Okay. I know, so warm up here.
I mean, I'm not from Kansas City, but from around the area. They've been playing high school baseball for a month there already, so.
Wow.
It's warm.
Mitch, anything?
Well, check out, it's currently 57 out, obviously, at 6 in the morning, but it does look like a high of, oh, no, we were getting about, 82.
82, okay. Hey, that's the type of baseball we don't have
that's
to worry.
July.
No rain, nothing, no precipitation.
Not as of now.
Nope.
Be a
ton of pop today. You know, when it warms up, that ball really travels.
Well, that's better than for guys like Carlos Santana, right?
Save those old joints.
Yeah. We had, forever it seemed like we had guys that would struggle this time of year until things would warm up. So, Jason, you're in for Ken today. Ken will return on Monday. We got Daryl Ryder in tomorrow in studio. But I thought it was perfect for Jason to come in because I was kind of annoying him, peppering him with some random questions, and I wouldn't let him talk before the show. That's what passes muster for prep work these days. I'm just like, do you have something? Zip it. Don't say it now.
Yep. Nope. Don't say it.
Okay. So I'm basically seeing, I think FanDuel has their win total 82.5. I had another site that I came into today, had them at 81.5. So basically no big bump for what they were able to pull off last year in Stephen Vogt's first year as manager. Do you feel, Jason Lloyd, like the Guardians are getting disrespected, or do you think it's a reflection of the offseason that they had?
No, I think it's a reflection of where baseball's at right now, especially in the American League. Let's look at the other day. I think outside of, I think, maybe the A's and the White Sox, I think everyone else is projected to win between 76 and 86. All right, this is like vintage NFL right now. With all the problems, the injury problems that the Yankees have had, they're very gettable. There is no dominant team in the American League. This thing is wide open. And so I don't think, you know, I get it from a fan perspective of, you know, you push the Yankees to the ALCS, and how do you celebrate that? Well, you take away the fan fest and you trade Andrés Giménez. Like, what are we doing? I totally get that in a vacuum. And the fan fest thing is whatever. But the Giménez thing made a ton of sense to me because of the future money owed. And as soon as they got Bezzana, he became expendable. It was either move him to short or trade him. And I think they're very happy with Rocchio and the progress that he's made there. And obviously he's on a rookie deal. And Giménez when they signed Giménez, he was on a different trajectory offensively to what he ultimately became the last couple of years. So it makes perfect sense to move off that future money. And then reinvesting it in Bibee, I think, helps from assurance from a fan perspective. So do I love the offseason? No. But, like, when are you ever going to love a Guardians offseason? You're not. Like, they don't ever. And that's part of who they are. Like, they're never going to take the big swing and go all in. But they're always going to be competitive. They're always going to be in it. But they're never – if you're waiting for them to, like, make the all-in move – when have they ever done that? Yeah. I mean, they signed Edwin Encarnacion 100 years ago, and they traded for Andrew Miller 105 years ago. And aside from that, when have they ever done, like, the big swing? Like, that's not who they are. So, but they're going to give themselves a seat at the table every year.
You know, I had put out a tweet, I think, a few months ago, and it was one of those where I merged all three teams, and people hate anytime you try to compare all three teams.
Oh, I love doing it.
But I like it too because I think all three teams have distinct features and bugs and the way they operate. It's obviously all three play in different types of leagues.
Yeah.
That the managing of money changes, you know, depending on the league. So I remember I put that, hey, if you love off seasons, the Cavs every year, off seasons, they've been interesting with Coby Altman. The Browns have had some really, really dynamic off seasons to where we've talked ourselves into things. The Guardians, no. But when it comes to regular seasons, who does
when
it
better? Matters.
Who does it better than the Guardians, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people said, well, what about the postseasons? All right. I thought we were all kind of understanding at this point that postseasons are kind of fluky in baseball, and it's kind of a crapshoot. The NFL kind of matters who your quarterback is. And in the NBA, you know, if you're good, you normally have prolonged playoff runs. And we'll see if that bears that way out. I got an interesting question about the Cavs later in the show for you, which I know you've been pretty dialed in. So given all of that, like, people have wondered, like, me and Ken don't sit here and crush the Guardians every day in the offseason. We're kind of over it.
Yeah.
And maybe you feel like we're not representing you, the listener, and that's why we always open up the phone lines, 216-474-0092. But maybe it's apathy. I am apathetic towards offseason baseball, and I think you could find the same type of talk show host in 26 markets because baseball has basically signaled to everybody that in most of these markets, you don't matter. Your owners are your owners. The teams that will spend the money are the teams that will spend the money and just move on. So I barely talk baseball in the offseason. It just doesn't interest me. There's no hot stove anymore, especially in a place like Cleveland. Winners meetings, bore, who cares? You're not even going to hear our team's name brought up. And I think baseball suffered because of it. But now that it's opening day, I'll get excited. It's here. Guardians, I have the utmost respect for their organization, and I have confidence, and they've earned it. And that is a big thing, Jason, that I always talk about. Colin Coward always says, we're not in the credit business. Like, that's American Express. Like, it's not our job to give credit to teams before they've done anything. And the Guardians prove every single season that they're capable of doing pretty cool things and contending for the division every year and potentially making a playoff run. And I think they could do it again, even though it seems like people are down on them. Seems like people think they had a losing offseason. I do think maybe Nolan Jones got some people excited if he's healthy.
I loved it.
That could be really big. Tanner Bibee, you mentioned that contract. Yeah. Who gets out ahead of these things better than the Guardians? So I'm a little nervous about Stephen Kwan because they haven't been able to do that and get ahead. But
I think that's over.
Okay, well, today was the day, right? Like,
well, no, just in general with him, I think that ship sailed long ago.
That's not too good.
But it comes. I mean, that part it comes down to the individual because, like, I think Tanner Bibee looked at Tristan McKenzie and Shane Bieber and said, you know what, give me the pen, I'll sign, I'll take it, because the deal he signed is so undervalued of where he would be if he got to free agency. Like, Framber Valdez, okay, the Astros pitcher, is in his last year of arbitration, just made $18 million in his last year of arbitration. And Tanner's not going to get to $18 million till like year four of this deal or something like that. But the risk from the pitcher side, like, Tristan McKenzie was close to an extension with the Guardians, and then his arm started hurting, and now he'll never see that money. Shane Bieber rejected their offers and has yet to see that type of money that he was. And I think Tanner looked at that and said, it is so...
Spooked him a little bit?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely think that played a role in it. And, you know, to the Guardians' credit, like, this is what they do. They have a structured system with these contracts. They're usually very team-friendly. This one, it's incredible. They got two club option years tacked onto the end. And it's a great deal for both sides, I guess, because Tanner gets his money guaranteed. And the Guardians, it's a home run deal. And now they got their guy locked in. Gavin Williams, I think, is going to have a monster year.
He was
supposed to last year, and he got hurt right at the end of spring training. Yeah. And it messed up his entire season. And then I talked to him in like August, September. He was tipping his fastball. He was tipping pitches. And it was just a miserable year for him all the way around. And now that all that's over, I'm telling you, man, those two dudes at the top of the rotation, this whole lineup, like, the thing with the Guardians is opening day, what they look like on opening day and what they look like in July, August, and September is often very, very different.
Yeah. Do you think Logan Allen is going to be the fifth starter in a month?
No.
2 months?
I don't have a ton of faith in him. I think Joey Cantillo will probably get a look at some point. We'll see what happens with Tristan being in the bullpen. It's a heartbreaking story what's happened with Tristan, if you're really paying attention. Like, again, he was close to signing an extension for big money, and then had the elbow issue, elected against the surgery, went the rehab route, and I don't know how you can look at it now and say he made the right call. Like, his career's never been the same. So, hopefully Bieber is back. I would not expect to see Shane before August. That's just me talking. Just based on recent history of a lot of these guys that have Tommy John in April, they're pushing it back more and more to like July, August. But you got Shane for September and October. You didn't get him for April, May, and June. So, I think this rotation is going to look different post All-Star break than it does right now. The lineup could look very different post All-Star break than it does right now. But it's here, man. It's baseball. And, you know, I was talking to Guardians official last year who said, we get killed every offseason. We get killed. Like, it's the worst part of the year for us. Kind of what you were alluding to earlier, that because they don't ever make any moves. But then when it comes to actually getting on the field and playing the games, they're always right there.
And ironically, as much as we, the fans, always want big name free agents in every sport, doesn't it seem like baseball is the worst sport to ever do that? For when guys are finally eligible to make their money, then they get their huge contract, and then in that sport, where it's not the NBA, where you know what a guy's going to give you basically every year. I can almost tell you the stats that a guy is going to get if you bring him in, and it makes sense in that organizational structure. In baseball, the minute you sign any of these guys, you are getting their worst years like 85, 90% of the time. Are you not?
I mean, go look at Javi Baez in Detroit. He's on a monster contract. He's unplayable. He's on the bench now. He's not even starting. And yeah, I mean, and plus with baseball, I mean, you could look at Mike Trout with the Angels, and just because you are a franchise generational type player doesn't mean you're going to have, you're certainly not the same impact that a quarterback does in the NFL or that a superstar does in the NBA. So it is a vastly different sport. The Guardians are never going to shop in those aisles. I think we all know that. That's a whole other conversation about where baseball's at with money and pay and everything else. But for right now, for today, hey, it's opening day,
right,
and your team's got
a
seat at the table.
Let's go. I'm actually pumped. Yeah. I am. I said I wasn't going to really pay much attention to them in the offseason, and now we're here. Now it's put up or shut up, and they debut today. Tanner Bibee takes the hill at 4:10 at Kauffman against the Kansas City Royals. Nice to be talking baseball again.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
All right, boys, I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty frustrated going into this about last night for today.
Mitch, why would you say that? Come on, it's opening day. Spring is in the air. It's going to be warm weather at the end of the week. How could you be in a dour mood?
That is about today. About last night, there was a ton of things that frustrated me. Number one, Kent State getting bounced in the NIT to Sister Jean and Loyola Chicago, of all teams.
I just saw the highlights. What a way for your season to come crashing down.
105 years strong.
And was that Sister Jean taunting from her wheelchair right there courtside? Is that what was going
on? I had an eye on her. They had a shot of her courtside the whole time, and I was like,
She did the wrist up thing.
Yeah, that's when I lost my love of Sister Jean.
Well, the other thing that was really frustrating yesterday was seeing the Pittsburgh Steelers as one of the representatives at Ohio State's Pro Day, potentially poaching some of our favorites down in Columbus. Talked to Umeke Ibuka, talked to Will Howard, the quarterback. Will Howard talking to Mike Tomlin and the Steelers representatives yesterday, according to the national champion QB.
Yeah, it's been really good, man. I spent some time with him yesterday, and Coach Tomlin, Coach Smith, and it's really good. I really like those guys. It's close to home for me. It's close to here. There's a lot of things I like about it. You never know. Yeah, anything can happen, but it's definitely a great spot. They all are.
Now, this is a true story. I've actually had some friends who say they'd be more disappointed if Will Howard somehow ended up as a later-round selection for the Steelers than if Nick Chubb were to go as their next running back.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this a little later in the show. That I find it very interesting right now that, and I don't know how big the contingent is, but there definitely is a contingent of fans that would rather have Howard late than Shedeur Sanders early. And I want to explore that and get into that with Jason a little bit later. Also, Jason, did you have any issue with how they went about attending pro days and workouts? Because it seemed to me, and you helped me out here. I wasn't screaming the other day when I said, why was Andrew Berry not at Cam Ward's pro day? And people were like, oh, calm down. He's not there because they're not getting him. They have the second pick. Cam's going number one. Why waste your time? Glenn Cook is there. He was an alum of Miami. I said, okay. And then yesterday happens and we find out that they do have a private workout, even better with Cam. And not only is Andrew Berry there, Jimmy Haslam is there. But then Andrew Berry wasn't at the Ohio State Pro Day. And I'm like, why didn't they just change the order? Why didn't Haslam and Andrew Berry go down to the Pro Day and then get their private workout after the Pro Day for Cam Ward and then go to Ohio State's Pro Day?
Yeah, I don't have a great answer. I agree. I do think Pro Days are a little bit overrated in terms of NFL draft process evaluation. But if they're there and you've got the second pick, it's a bad look. If you care about that sort of thing, it's a bad look that you're not there.
Well, I don't even think it's about changing your opinion on a player based on a workout. Although Brian Hoyer came on with us earlier in the week and said he had never had a workout like he had until he got a chance to go one-on-one with Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien had him doing things he had never seen. And then what happened? Bill O'Brien, they ended up signing him, you know, with New England at that point. So you can learn something.
Well, I do think what I think is valuable is the FaceTime with these guys because you don't have a lot of it.
Yes.
And so every opportunity that you have to shake their hand and have a conversation with them and get to know them a little bit, I think that actually is probably more valuable than anything that they do on the field.
I agree. I totally agree.
Well, last night as well in the NBA, we had a very competitive matchup between the Pacers and the Lakers, including a highlight near the end of the game where the Pacers were up 119 to 118, and Luka Doncic had the ball for the last shot.
Luka with two for the win! Tipped up and in! Will it count? LeBron James at the buzzer! He says, rack it up! LeBron James, not always there when you call, but always on time!
That Mark Jones call, courtesy of ESPN.
It didn't even make sense.
Mark Jones! You know what? Respect to Mark Jones, who I used to watch on, used to be, what was it? Not inside the NBA, because that was Amar Rashad. It was the ESPN show. I'd come home from school, and Mark Jones was on every day. Oh, it's called NBA Today. That's what it was. And he was on every day, and this was like 30-plus years ago, showing how old I am. And yeah. Mark Jones still calling games.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something off the air about Mark Jones and the national anthem. But it was a weird game for LeBron. He was terrible throughout. He had this strange day, which we're going to talk about in the next segment. And then he does that. Then he is battling for position, gets inside position, and tips it in for the game winner. And, you know, a month ago, I was like, are the Lakers going to be the last team standing in the Western Conference? Are we going to have a Cavs-Lakers NBA Finals? And now that I've seen him more, and LeBron had his time away, which he tends to have at times, and just looking at their roster, I mean, they're going to be brutal to try to play in a playoff series, but are they good enough? I don't know that they are.
I mean, Luka took Dallas to a finals last year.
He did.
And I'd rather have LeBron than Kyrie as my number two, even at this age.
At this age.
Even at this stage of their careers, I would rather have LeBron as the number two. So, no, I wouldn't pick the Lakers as a prohibitive favorite, but I'm not going to be shocked if that's who it is.
Well, going over from the professional basketball ranks to the college ranks, obviously we have the Sweet 16 games later tonight. One of the teams that's not competing is Connecticut, the reigning two-time defending champions no more. Coach Dan Hurley was speaking at a presser yesterday and addressed his three-game suspension for next season following his comments after his loss to Florida, saying that, you know, he regrets what he said, but that doesn't affect how he coaches.
There are mistakes. There are things I wish I didn't do. It's part of what you get with me. I hope to not do it again. I'm going to look to attempt to take measures, both internally, mentally, and externally. Not a security team, but, you know, just being able to get me. I wouldn't change one aspect of how I coach a game or how hard we fight. You know, would I like to be able to get on and off the court without incident? You know, I got what I deserved. So
it was weird. It was kind of an apology. It was, but I'm not really going to change. And I don't think that guy has it in him to change.
No.
But I will say, and we had Ian Eagle on yesterday who was doing those games. I was affixed. My eyes were affixed on him the entire game. I am mesmerized by how somebody could be that childish and that juvenile from tip-off to the end of the game to the tunnel. To then he had his sports information director attacking reporters and telling them they were going to ruin him, which I would have loved. Jace, I would have loved. Have you ever had an SID do that to you at Ohio State?
I got into it.
Is there
it.
One in particular I think we both
it.
Know?
I got into it with SIDs multiple times.
Yeah. It was a rite of passage. But like in this case, it wasn't the reporter's fault at all. He wasn't doing anything out of line.
But now, I saw the statement that he was in a place where he wasn't supposed to be. If that's true.
No, come on.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. It's the fact that he's. Look, I kind of like that he pointed to his fingers about the rings.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. He's going.
I mean, Dan Hurley's the face of college basketball.
Isn't that crazy?
He is the.
This is Bobby Knight reincarnate, right? In modern day times, but he's not. I think he's not Bobby Knight in how he tortures his players. Yeah, doesn't he's not throwing the chair. Oh, he's probably one game away, one bad call away from throwing all the chairs. But we always wonder, like, oh, Bobby Knight couldn't do what he did today. Well, that's coaching the players. But, like, the sideline antics? I mean, this is Bobby Knight.
Part of it is just the pitiful state of college basketball, that this guy's the face of it. Because what else do you have? What else do you have? Nobody knows the players.
No.
And the coaches are so beaten down by the NIL and stuff like that. Like, they're all jumping ship. How much longer does Tom Izzo have? Not much. So all these guys are starting to bail. So, Dan Hurley, the only thing you're talking about the NCAA, it's Sweet 16 of games tonight. And the only thing anybody wants to talk about is Dan Hurley. Because there's no great Cinderella story. There's no great storyline to this tournament. Does anybody care who wins? I don't care who wins. It's Dan Hurley.
I'm just hoping for all the teams to have fun, basically. Now we go to the last story, which is from the world of baseball, because baseball is starting up back again today, even though we had two games already between the Dodgers and the Cubs. This is from, ESPN Bet. You showed me this, Lima. The sports books have set the Chicago White Sox over-under win total for the start of this season at 53.5, which is the lowest total for an over-under on a sports book in 35 years. This might even be worse than last season.
All I want to know is how much audio are we going to play this year from their play-by-play announcer?
Oh, Schriffen?
Schriffen.
Hard-hitting Schriffen.
That's right.
What is it, 54.5?
53.5.
53.5?
Yes.
Okay, so if they hit the over, that's still a 13-game improvement from last year.
They need J.B. Bickerstaff.
They went 41-121 last year.
Yeah, it's incredible. So, do you think you'd be sweating bullets picking the over on this?
No, I take the over.
Do you want to throw some money together?
No.
I got an account. Let's go.
I mean, I would take the over on that. 53 games? 54? Yeah. You got to get to 54 wins? It.
Can you name like one player that might be an all-star rep for the White Sox this year?
Luis Robert. Andrew Vaughn.
No, can you name two?
I can only name one person in that organization, and it's Schriffen.
You know who their closer is?
No.
You know who their closer is, but do you know who their closer is?
No, no idea.
Mike Clevinger. Is their
closer. Clevinger?
Is their closer.
Holy.
I knew he was on the team. I didn't know he was a closer.
$10?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to turn that. Oh. This is just the start. Now, the problem is they get your money for the next, six months.
No, I'm going to need this back. I got to eat.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem.
I got to go buy a breakfast sandwich across the street.
I got Doritos.
Whenever you do the totals, that's the problem. It's like instead of collecting any kind of interest in the bank or whatever, it's just sitting there for them.
Yeah.
And it's just no fun. It's never any fun to bet the overs.
It is not. And that's it for about last night.
Very strange day yesterday as LeBron James made plenty of waves going on the Pat McAfee show. This was a huge booking. LeBron trying to reach a different base. I don't know what that was yesterday. It's very interesting. But before we get to the very controversial stuff, something that I'm very curious what Cavs fans would think and Cleveland fans in general when they hear LeBron talk about how he ended up a Cavalier to begin with and lottery shenanigans.
Listen, man, during the ball drop, during the lottery drop, Cleveland got the number one pick. What a coincidence. Let's keep LeBron home. Patrick Ewing to the Knicks. Derrick Rose to the Bulls. But I understand the assignment, guys.
It's not doing very much. Audio courtesy of the Pat McAfee Show on ESPN. He's not doing a lot there to debunk. I think he's having some fun mostly, but look, the conspiratorial nature of the NBA has always been there. How the NBA has done their best to rig certain situations and steer certain players to certain teams. Jason, didn't we have reporters like in the room when they were doing the balls?
Yeah, he knows better than I don't know. Like, he was in a mood yesterday.
It was weird.
But this is who he is. If you catch him at the right time, he's had days like that before, but he was clearly in a mood. There was things he wanted to get off his chest yesterday, which is fine. But the whole idea that the NBA is rigged, I will die on this hill. That's silly. Because I was in the year that the Cavs won the lottery to get Kyrie, I was in the room and watched the whole thing. And if that's rigged, like, now imagine if the reporters weren't in there, then you would say it's rigged. So they bring everybody in and people still say it's rigged. It's a lot. I mean, I guess you could like weight the balls differently, something, but like my whole thing has been, what is it? Delwatt and Touche is like the accounting firm.
Deloitte.
Deloitte and Touche. It's the one of the most respected firms.
So they're in on it too.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you know how many people, how deep this would have to go? And for all of these years that nobody's come forward and, you know what I mean? Like, you mean to tell me at a company of that size with that type of reputation, there's not one whistleblower in 30 years that would come out and
we
say.
We can't even pull off a military operation these days without it going viral in text threads. Like, if the NBA could pull this off, maybe we've got the wrong people running the wrong department.
It's asinine. To think that it's like you could
gotta sever them.
Yeah, right. I like that idea.
You could make a case for a lot of these guys wind up in different cities and say, oh, yep, there you go. Now, like the frozen envelope thing or whatever, before my time.
Yeah.
I don't know anything.
It seems like it would have been a lot easier to manipulate.
But I'm telling you, like with the current system with the ping pong balls, it's ridiculous.
All right. So that was one part of yesterday. And we got into talking about just, do we even really know who the real LeBron is? Because if you think about it, he's so carefully massaged his overall look, right? The optics of everything he did after the decision. After that, it was all damage control. And the rest of his career, he was probably a very different guy, very guarded with who he let in and who he was able to talk to. And so I find it, again, very bizarre that in a discussion about Michael Jordan and shoes yesterday, all of a sudden Brian Windhorst is taking strays.
Like, I seen Brian Windhorst on one of these shows not too long ago. Like
Wendy, you guys played together in high school.
Yeah, it was like, you know, says he's like my best friend. These guys are just weird. They went on a show and said, you know, like, oh, don't let LeBron fool you. Like, he wears number 23 because of Michael Jordan. Okay, that's a fact. He signed with Nike because of Michael Jordan. It's like, no, I didn't. I signed with Nike because I got a hell of a signing bonus, and they gave me a 7-year, $90 million contract. And I moved my mom out of the hood the next day I signed that contract.
All right, audio courtesy of Pat McAfee Show and ESPN. So it was weird because, I've read a lot of Brian Windhorst, a lot of what he has done chronicling LeBron over the years, and I've never found him to be, you know, very slanted one way or the other. If anything, for a while, he was called like LeBron's biographer, a shill for LeBron James. And so I've seen typically in coverage when somebody is being accused of being either a hater or a homer, if they're getting both of that, then they're probably right down the middle. They're probably doing it the right way.
Yeah. Listen, I've known Brian. Brian and I had classes together at Kent 25 plus years ago. I've known the dude forever. He is elite at what he does. He's an incredible human being. And he didn't deserve that from LeBron. But I'm actually, in a way, like because like the thing that always annoyed me was people always said Brian made his career on the back of LeBron and like he just rode LeBron's coattails. They have not been close since Brian went to Miami and followed him to Miami with ESPN. I think that, I don't know for certain, but I think that really sort of damaged the relationship. LeBron didn't want him down there. And like, so the idea that people think that like Brian and LeBron are really tight, I've known that's been ridiculous for years. LeBron's had nothing to do with Brian's success in his career. Nothing. Obviously covering LeBron puts you on a bigger platform.
And he took advantage of that.
And he took advantage of that. And same thing I did. Covering LeBron gave me a bigger platform and got me to The Athletic. But LeBron didn't make my career. I had to do that on my own. Brian didn't make Brian's career. Brian had to do that on his own. And he did. And he did an incredible job. And, I mean, Brian is one of the most plugged-in people in the NBA in the country. And I thought that was a cheap shot from LeBron. And it was completely not necessary. Because, yeah, you don't like the guy. Okay, fine. For whatever reason. And it is crazy. Like, literally, Brian's mom was LeBron's teacher at St. V. So it's kind of nuts how entwined they are. But
are we going to get a standoff? Are we going to get a Stephen A. Smith-like situation with Brian Windhorst?
Absolutely not. Brian would never do that.
And LeBron courtside?
Brian would never do that. He would never.
Yeah, but I want to see it. Mike on the road. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Anthony.
Hey.
I know your love affair for LeBron James, but the honest
depends.
To God
truth. Honestly, Mike, it depends on the situation. I feel like there have been, yeah, I'll let you get back in, but I've absolutely crushed him on certain things and other things I'll stand up for him all the time because I just want people to make good faith arguments. Like when we had people calling us up, telling us his school is a total scam and he's only doing it for the love, I'm like, we're not going to give him any credit. He gets zero credit for trying to help kids out in Akron, you know, where he's from. And I'm not going to call the guy the devil on everything, which is, I think, unfortunately, what people do because they don't like his politics. But anyway, go ahead, Mike.
Hey, yeah, I agree with Anthony, but I, in my opinion, the guy's a complete he's a bag. He's going after a reporter because he doesn't like what he says about his son. I mean, come on. But, you know, this guy's been a bag since he went on his 50-minute spiel on
All right.
We can't use that term?
Callers aren't going to do it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the end of our LeBron segment. They're going to go that direction. 216-474-0092. I know it's going to be always weird how people talk about LeBron James in this town forever because, like, for me, I mean, when he won a title, and I'll say it's very, very transactional. Like, it shouldn't be about, hey, you have to win a title for me to like you. But it absolutely changed the way I'm going to talk about him forever. Like, we can't tell people all the time, the athletes, that they'll never have to buy a drink here again if they just come through. And then LeBron comes through and you're like, yeah, but I don't like these other things about LeBron.
It's so stupid.
Like, no, he won the championship. Yeah. He did the unthinkable. He did the thing that we crush every other athlete for not being able to do. And then what? We're going to go around and say, yeah, but there's a big asterisk because he left two other times. Who cares?
No.
Won the title.
I totally agree. I know we got to go. I saw something stupid the other day about if Shador came here and won, it would be bigger than LeBron. No, guys, no. Nothing will ever be bigger than
totally
LeBron coming back and winning a freaking championship here. Nothing. Stop. You sound stupid.
It's also a story that was, you know, 15 years in the making. There's just nothing.
Yes.
Nothing is going to be like that.
He's from here. He's one of the greatest to ever play. And he came back to win a championship, knowing that if he didn't, it would be a failure. And he did it anyway, and they delivered. And people still aren't happy? No, dude. That is the best story in Cleveland history, period.